Hi everyone, you're listening to Like Her, the podcast that celebrates women doing fantastic things in the realms of beauty, fitness, wellness, and everything else in between. Like Her is a space for women to share their ideas, have honest conversations, and most importantly, have a good laugh. I'm Rosanna, and each episode I'll be speaking to an inspiring woman that will hopefully make you think, I like her. So on that note, get yourself comfy, get yourself a nice drink, and enjoy the episode. Hi everyone, welcome to the second episode of Like Her. Today my guest is Hannah Jane Smith.
Hello.
Hi. And we're going to be talking about mental health today. Hannah is an arts and community manager for a company, but we're not here to talk about that today. We're going to be talking about what you do on the side, which is slowly taking over your life. So would you just like to... But I feel like a lot of the people that I speak to who have full-time jobs, what they really want to be doing, Bristol siren going by, yeah. Sorry about that. What they really want to be doing is the thing that they're doing on the side, and hopefully and eventually it will turn into your main thing.
Yeah, and what a wonderful thing, I think.
Yeah. So do you want to briefly explain like what you do?
Yeah, so I'm a mental health campaigner and well-being advocate, and that comes from not professional but lived-in experience, having severe anxiety from 4 years old. And what I do is I tell my story in the hope that people can be, there's kind of a light shining on a subject that is so still people are so scared to speak about. But even when the stigma's disappearing, it's still so dark. And with all these scary statistics that we need to hear, and we can't be naive to the suicidal rates, and the crisis that I think we're in. But I like to put a positive and fun spin on it so that it's accessible to absolutely everyone. And by that I mean people that are fighting it, that are in the middle of it, that have come out the other end of it, that are just going into it, or indeed the people that don't have a clue what it is. And I think that's the really important bridge to gap. To get hold of 100% people to have 100% of people on board. So my company does bespoke lectures, workshops, writing, anything that the company needs in order to shed light and hope on mental health as a general and well-being. And I've worked in an awful lot of environments and I don't say no to any of them. So from corporate to charity to prisons, for example.
Amazing. So it's pretty full on.
Yeah.
And I think the first thing I want to ask you is, when you go into places, for people that don't know Hannah or haven't seen pictures, Hannah's blonde, blue-eyed, you're white, attractive, female, slim.
Thank you.
Do you feel like because of that, when you go into places and you're giving advice and you're helping people with mental health, do you think people look at you and think, oh my God, like... What do you know about suffering, or do you feel like you get judged? And you're also very well spoken as well, so.
Yes, yeah, it is the voice that gets the most attention, and I'm so grateful because a lot of people say, "Oh, I really like it," and I get
yeah,
a lot.
Yeah, it's lovely.
Especially on Instagram, they're like, "Your voice, so soothing," and I'm like,
"It
oh
is.
My God.
It's like Mary Poppins." I love
Thank
it.
You. That's lovely. I love her. So I do get a lot of positive feedback, and the majority is positive, but not even in a well-being sense, but in a general sense. I've been laughed at in shops, and I'm not going to hide the fact that I'm from a privileged background. My family don't speak like this. This is a cultivation, is that the word? Of accumulation of drama, learning to read Shakespeare and speak properly on stage in classical singing that I did all as a child, and it really does create a voice. That's how I was taught. So I do get judged entirely, and sometimes for the negative. I'm not going to hide that I'm from a privileged background, but some people do like to see that as a negative, as how do you know about suffering, just exactly how you said.
Yeah.
But I like to think that it's simply an accent, and as long as I tell my story with as much honesty, of which I always will, it's everything I do is 100% me.
That's the most important
then
thing.
Then they will buy into it. I've never had anyone at the end that's said bullshit.
Yeah. Perfect.
I've worked in prisons, and when I go in there,
they're all to hear like, about.
Who is this chick?
Is it like mixed prisons, or is it just men?
I've been into male only.
Oh my god. So I had a friend that whose ex-boyfriend went to prison, and I was like, oh, what was that like? She's like, it was an experience. She was like, top tip, if you ever go to prison, don't wear a skirt.
Oh, yeah. So that's the first thing, yeah. So you have to completely, it's just like, again, my training is acting, and you have to wear a certain wardrobe and a certain cloth. It's just so that you, it is respect to them as much as it is to myself. These people are humans, and you do not want to tempt anything that they can't get a hold of. Yeah. In that situation, without being too crass. I don't like speaking about it too much, because I've got to be careful with sensitivity.
Yeah, of course.
And also respect to the people that I work with. They are the kindest people I've ever worked with. I will say that. And some of the most intelligent emotionally answers I've ever heard.
Really?
Yeah. And there is a stigma there that shouldn't be there, as there is with everything. But it was the most invaluable experience for me. And I did have to go in, and one of the first things I did say is, I'm a senior grade martial taekwondo martial artist. I do taekwondo. And they were like, fair one, miss. And
amazing.
Then that kind of
did they call
it.
You miss?
Yes,
oh
they
my
called
god, that's
me miss.
So endearing.
Yes,
yes
they
so
called
nice.
Me miss.
What were you doing there, though?
I was giving a workshop on mental health, giving them statistics and giving them a place to speak freely, openly, and giving them my time. They were teaching me as much as, or if not more than I was teaching them, to be honest, and I did tell them that. And it was some of the most incredible feedback I've ever had in my life. And it's really where my workshops began.
Tell
I'm
me about
grateful.
Them.
So they're bespoke, and I do train the trainer or to the people affected directly with their mental health. They can be hours long to all day. And they are just for anything from the corporate world to institutions like prisons. And I hope to go into schools this year. That's my biggest thing, whereby we explore it. I'm able to give them the time to explore it, and with lived in experience, be able to say that they're not alone, and be able to share ideas and statistics as much as possible, and look at it from a creative, so I call myself a well-being creative. So I try and take away the bullshit, take away the tick pen, the tick in a box. I've done my well-being bit, and that was actually echoed in one of the inmates actually that came up to me and said, miss, I've been in prisons for 10 years and I've never had anyone speak to me the way you do. So that I held with me as my ethos for my company.
And how do you think you spoke? Was
like
it just
a
on
human.
A human level?
Like a human. I'm so grateful that I don't have a boss, so I do not have boxes to tick. I want those boxes to be created by the company that want me there. And then I will put the human back into it. And I will also, I do believe in honesty and trust. And I just am very easy to pour out my whole life story to anyone.
I'm the same.
We don't have time for that. But exactly. I'm happy to do that. And I think that is something that people find daunting, but I don't. People call me brave, and I find that very difficult. I only think I'm brave if I'm doing something I'm scared of. I don't think I'm brave if I'm doing
if
something that you're
natural,
scared of, because
it's
very natural for me. So I'm not brave. I'm just executing what I'm able to do.
I'm exactly the same, actually. I don't know if I learned that from a young age, or just maybe being Spanish family, which is very open.
Lovely, yeah.
My mum's family are crazy. She's one of seven. They're like so open, it's like insane. So I think that's just always been in there. And then maybe the response that you get from being open is usually a positive response. I think there's the downsides, which is people can take
judge
advantage
you.
Of you as well and judge you, or say that you're gobby or a bit outspoken. But I find that it makes people warm to me, because I'm you know, pouring everything out, and then that encourages them to feel safe. Can't remember what I was going to ask you now. Oh yeah, that ties in. So I did your birth chart.
What is this? So this is where we differ, because I don't follow this. I don't
it's
believe
fine.
In this.
No, but don't worry about it. It's fine. Take it with a pinch of salt. So your Cancer.
Yes.
Yeah. Which is like the friendly, chatty, bubbly sign. Makes and then sense. I found out that your ascendant, which is how you come across to others, is also a Cancer. So some people have different ascendants, but a lot of people have them in the same sign, which means that you're almost through and through, you're the same person.
Wow.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah. So Cancer moon is like the same, like outgoing, friendly. We can talk about it later.
No,
I've got the birth chart. And I think your moon, which is your emotional needs, is Sagittarius. So I don't know what that means.
That's the one I want
to
know.
I don't have any of that, so I don't know what that means. I'll tell you later.
Okay, cool. That's awesome.
So what I wanted to ask you was, so you go into, you said that you do the more corporate thing, and then...
slowly getting into it, but getting through the door with them.
So what would the issues be in like a corporate setting?
Without being rude, they disregard human. That's so fucking cutthroat, isn't it? I have a lot of people in my life, and I'm from a business background, actually, in regards to how my family operate in their life. My father's in finance. I hold nothing against people that want to pursue a career in that. I do, however, see a huge difference in how you're treated. And how you treat the world. It's a system, it's numerical. I've walked into a place and the boss won't even look up to say hello to you from your desk. However...
Was that somewhere you worked?
But also, I hear it an awful lot. You don't get a hello. However, you have to greet your customers within 30 seconds. So why are we not greeting the people that do all the back work? So... people get lost in numbers, digits, money. And I'm not here saying, this is my disclaimer, because I've got such a balanced opinion and people always get their back up either way.
Yeah.
I'm not here saying that money isn't important, actually. I personally think the way that we're going in a capitalist society, we need it to survive.
Yeah,
so therefore it's important.
And
I also don't think it's a bad thing to want to have money. But I do believe that you have to find what you love in order to create that and not to be a number in a machine. I do think it'll affect your mental health. And I think there's a lack of human empathy and attachment within corporate workplaces. We need to find a why in our lives. We need to know why we're here. That is the core psychological, like...
What's the meaning of life?
What is this? Why am I here? What's the point? And if you're not fulfilling that, or if you're not even being inspired or being thanked in your daily hustle for having a living and then doing that on the sideline, you will find yourself questioning this perhaps a little bit more. I can't speak for everyone. Some people really enjoy it, and absolutely, good on you. But I do see a lot of people with a lot of pressure, not enough time, all these cuts, so everyone has to, it's all on one man or one woman. It's troublesome, I think.
It would be interesting to also look at maybe the science world as well, mental health in the science world. I think anything where it's results and numbers and
could
correlation,
we include engineering in that,
100%, and also computing, IT, that kind
screen
of
time.
A very it's like a very, I don't know what the word is, like regimented way of looking at things, and you have to have that to be able to work with computers or engineering. But I think sometimes that mindset can, you can become quite disconnected.
And also, let's not disregard the fact that maybe people with social situations like autism or Asperger's, where that kind of structure actually enables them to thrive.
Yeah.
So we can't disregard it entirely. And maybe someone that isn't, I think we're all a bit on the spectrum, but someone that doesn't have that label, that still might just be the way that they work. Not everyone wants to socialise, and that's absolutely fine. But people that do have those niggling ideas and that passion for something else and it's not being fulfilled, or the fact that they're not fulfilling any passion, that they don't know what that is.
Yeah.
I would urge to run away from the office. Yes.
Just thinking about it makes me think, I wouldn't be migraine.
But
I wouldn't be able to do it.
But I also think there's healthy offices. I've really enjoyed aspects of working in an office in my life. And then there's been parts where I've thought, my God, what the hell am I doing?
Yeah.
I can't do another day.
I'm really lucky that I've had bosses that always acknowledge me and the team and make a point of one boss in particular, who I've worked on and off with for a really long time, known her for 15 years. She used to come to me and be like, I've just got to go because so-and-so's walked in. And it was, she almost got anxious about not saying hello to everybody because she didn't want to be seen as that person that just came in and walked out, which is really, really nice. So I'm quite lucky in that sense. But obviously doing marketing, I'm probably going to end up working in an office.
Hey.
And yeah, I don't know how I feel about that.
So
I think I might just ask you about your fitness, because again, another selfish question. I know it's not to do with mental health, but it is.
Well, I think it is.
Yeah, massively. How? So I watch you on Instagram and you do so much fitness. I don't even know where to begin with these questions.
Okay.
A, do you ever get injured, or do you ever get like... Yeah, I clocked that. She's got I would say 6 inches long bruise down your forearm.
Yeah. What is that?
What is that? Your arm? Towards your elbow.
Something really awful. Okay. People aren't ready for that.
So what's that from?
That's taekwondo.
Okay.
I've been punched, nose bled, that kind of thing, but I've never broken a bone. Oh my God, touching the word. I haven't. I'm actually quite a safe adventurer. Fitness is directly linked to mental health. If I do not go to the gym in a day, I will see a diminishing effect. Is that the right word?
Yeah,
sometimes I use the wrong words.
No, I think that's totally the right.
Diminishing effect in my proactivity.
Okay.
In my state to think that I'm doing something.
Yeah.
In my energy levels, in my my basic success of the day.
Okay.
And also that then enables me to ensure that my mind is looked after at all points of the day.
Mm.
So I actually started my fitness at the age of 4. I have my family to thank. My father's was heavily into sport. And he brought that into my childhood. The biggest thing that he probably brought into me and my sister's childhood was that.
Mm.
We were surrounded by the football constantly. He always used to say, on your head, son, and then just launch the football at our heads when we were like children.
Brothers?
No,
I love
sisters.
That. That's so like me and my sister with my dad, like really into football. It's like, sorry,
well,
dad.
I hated it, but my sister was, I think she enjoyed it. I think she played football. Regardless, we both were county gymnasts, I think. And I started that at 4 years old. They had talked about taking me to the Olympics, but my mental health got way too strong, and my mother was like, we are pulling this. She is not enjoying this. She has to stop this.
Well done, mum.
Oh, God, yeah.
How many mums would not do that and just see the bigger picture?
Right.
Well, not the bigger picture, but see the like result, like, oh, Olympics, that's such an opportunity.
And you do look back as an adult. I look back and I remember, I still think I've either let them down or I've let my potential down. But then you can't think like that.
No, not at all.
You just can't think like that because... the reason I'm here now doing all these things is
because
of the fact that they pulled the plug then.
And that's so amazing. And that's, I think, do you think with the well-being and mental health stuff, it's not just talking to individuals, it's talking to parents as well? Because
that's my biggest thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You've got to, I don't know how to parent. I'm not a parent. I will never say that I'm a good parent because I'm not one. And I cannot, the more I look into it, I cannot comprehend the vastness of parenting and how incredibly complex it is and how incredibly emotionally invested you are. I cannot comprehend. And I just want to put it here, and I say it nearly every day. Mothers and fathers, you are my biggest inspiration and my biggest heroes. And I could get teary just thinking about it.
Yeah, same.
I honestly can't believe how they do it. I really can't. But especially with someone so modest like my mother and my father, to be honest. They're so modest as parents. They're just like, it's a privilege. Sure, my dad doesn't say but my mama is a privilege. So I was counter gymnast from 4. I had a big hiatus then. I had a huge gap where I didn't do anything because of my mental health. It really wasn't good, and we had to just, it was overtaking my entire life. It was investing in my parents' life, my family life. It took over. And then I did the whole gym thing on and off.
So when you say you had a break, was that from what age till when?
Okay.
Because most people have a break when they're a teenager, don't they? When they start mucking around.
7 years old to about 18.
Oh, okay.
Huge.
Yeah.
Huge. I did dance at A level, so that kept me active. Yeah. And then I did the binge exercise, and then, and that carried on to university. I didn't get the inspiration there. I climbed Kilimanjaro when I was 21.
Wow.
And that's where I met some of the most incredible people in my life. Just the best experience of my life. I always say my wedding will not top that. but we'll see.
Lucky husband to be.
He's just got constant high standards from me. Yeah.
Unless you're having a wedding on top of a mountain, like, ain't gonna cut
they've
it.
They've literally got to propose to me on the top of a mountain.
I was
or I'm
just
not doing
gonna
it.
Where you said with the gym binging thing.
Mm.
And I feel like this is really common, because I think I did it a little bit as well when I was sort of early 20s.
Yep.
When it's that sudden, like, I've got to go to the gym because I've just got to go to the gym, really. It's not even...
It's cool, isn't
it? It's not even health. It's like, oh, yeah, go to the gym, get slim or toned or whatever. Yeah. And you're not doing it because you actually want to look after yourself. Was that that? Or
sure.
Was it...
it was never. It was never well-being. It. Yeah. It was... I'm going to the gym because I've got a gym cut.
Yeah.
Whilst I'm a first year.
And it's so fucking unenjoyable, isn't it?
Yeah. Me and one of my best friends were like... We used to stretch, and then as soon as the sports boys came in, we were just like, yeah, so when I was a dancer, and like, it was just all ego.
Yeah.
It was all ego. I'm not ashamed to say that. At 21, I think a lot of things are all ego.
Yeah.
And that was on and off. I had a really bad patch in 2015. Huge amounts of sadness and anxiety.
Mm.
I had a real bad... sickness problem. It was almost like morning sickness. The amount of pregnancy tests I had to pee was crazy. I was basically in such a rut that it was affecting everything from periods to sleep to sickness.
Yeah.
And I couldn't eat. I had you see that vase there? I had it with boiled sweets, and that would stop me from fainting.
Yeah.
So I'd have a boiled sweet for sugar.
Oh my God.
I was sick, and I was incredibly thin. I went to the doctors, they put me on antibiotics, and I never disregard the doctors. I think they do a wonderful job, actually. A lot of people hate them for it, but it's because I'm able to know myself so well because of my childhood, because of all those things that I had to go through, all those psychologists that I had to meet. I do know exactly who I am, so if I didn't know, then I think the GP would be quite a troublesome place, because they do throw drugs at you quite
a
lot.
Yeah, yeah.
But what else are they supposed to do with the time constraints? I really feel for them. But I had to make it my mission. So I had this pink, like, it looked like Mr. Blobby liquidized, like this pink stuff. And I was like, this isn't working. It just tastes slightly delicious. And then I went, what do you do? And I thought, I will make, and it might sound quite weird, because it doesn't sound very well-being, but I have an odd way of looking at it. I will make myself so hungry that I have to eat.
Yeah.
And that's exerting energy and calories. So I needed to make sure I was busting something out.
Yeah.
So I Googled Taekwondo into Google search. And
why Taekwondo? Okay. Like, was it like a film?
I saw a world champion woman in a music video do a video, and I was like, she's badass.
Yeah.
I'm in.
Cool.
And I did a few kickboxing classes in first year. I love the aggression.
Yeah.
That's another thing that I get judged on. Everyone thinks I'm very fluffy, but I actually have this very bitey side to me that I love to push. So I emailed this company, and I was like, hello, I'm thinking about going to class. And he was like, see you tomorrow. And I was like, will you? And I turned up, and I instantly gelled with my instructor. Sir is a wonderful human, and it saved my life, and I threw up a few times on the way home. Because there was not,
I've always been sick after boxing. Not because I was like starving, hungry and ill, but because it's just fucking hard work.
Right. So mine unfortunately was because I was sick. So there was nothing in my body and it was bile that was coming up. Oh. And then I would start to eat and then it became a consistent thing. Now that's 3 years down the line and I go every twice a week as much as I can fit it in. And then with that came my love for the gym, because something became consistent, then did everything else. Find what you love and let it kill you, really, is one of my favourite things. And then came challenges. I'm only ever happiest when I'm pushing and exerting at about 80%, so mountains and cycle rides come at me. They excite me.
So how do you balance that? When do you say, okay, I've done so much and I need to take a rest?
I don't know if I do very well. I don't know if I need to work on.
But are you happy not taking a break?
Yeah.
Because I think a lot of people, there is so much talk about rest is best and you need to take it easy.
I find it very
difficult.
But if
you're okay being at 80% and you're not getting ill, you're eating, you're feeling strong, you're not super tired,
right,
your mental health is okay, then why stop?
Sure,
you know?
It's different. I think people have different energy levels.
Yeah.
And mine are through the roof.
I wish I had your energy levels, because I love exercise. I love it and I can't do it consistently.
Uh-huh.
My body just doesn't allow me to. And that's something that over the years I've just had to accept, that that's how my body is.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
I can build my strength to a certain extent, but it's not, I can't push it past that, unfortunately.
And also, just as a disclaimer, I'm not a guru at it. There are millions of people so much stronger than me. And also, I don't give 80% every time
that you're doing it at
a session.
Yeah.
At the gym, sometimes I will be like giggling around and mucking around, because for me, it's just topping up.
Yeah.
And then I'll go ham on a taekwondo session, or the amount of time Sir's like, I'm literally yawning in a class, because I can train up to 3 times a day.
Yeah.
That is too much, and I have tried to cut back to 2. I do recognise that 3, in my old age, three is getting a bit too much for my body, and I am clonked. But also, as another disclaimer, people are like, I wish I could do this, and that I find that hard to deal with that sentence sometimes, because I am in a place of people watching what I do.
Yeah.
And what I do need to reiterate is my work, my day job, I can do with my eyes closed, back to front, upside down, with my knickers on my head. And I choose my hours as long as I get shit done, as long as I do my full-time hours, I am in control of them. I'm the manager of it. So it is a huge advantage.
Yeah.
If I was doing an office 9 to 5 that was draining it, I don't know if I could do it.
Well, I think a lot of people, if they were in the same situation, they might do the same.
Mm.
Yeah, I think I would. So, what is your favourite exercise? Is it the taekwondo?
It is taekwondo for progression, for never feeling... I never feel satisfied, and in taekwondo, you're always going further. It doesn't stop at black belt at all.
Yeah.
Sir says that as soon as you start black belt, you actually start learning taekwondo. So that's 3 years previous.
Yeah.
So it keeps me in check, and it gives me my soul. It gives my soul a workout too, because the minute I walked in there, I'm quite a bit of a... I'm quite annoying. I walked in and I was like, so if you're naturally good at this...
Because I think I might be.
Can you skip belt, and I feel sick. So now that I know the ethos behind it, and I would advise anyone to look into it, because it teaches you discipline.
Yeah.
And it teaches you the process, not just the result.
Yeah.
Which is invaluable. And I would put my child straight into a taekwondo class for that reason. I would look up that for anyone, absolutely anyone. But he just said, get to the back of the line. Yes, you can kick. Well done.
Yeah.
You can get your leg high. Well done.
It's not
this
about
that.
This
is how it's done.
Yeah.
And that's been the hardest challenge for me. But other than that, hit. High intensity interval training gets those endorphins running and is best for my mental health and productivity. And I'd highly recommend that at about 6, 7 a.m. in the morning.
Yeah, I agree. It's not healthy to do that in the evening, is it?
It's not.
The cortisol.
I heard that, yeah.
My sister started working out, and she's one of those people that can eat whatever she wants, and she's just tiny. But I was really proud of her. She said, this year, I know, she's 26, she's like, I know I need to get strong, I need to look after my body, I'm going to go to the gym. And she's won like little awards at the gym for being so conscientious. She messaged me yesterday actually saying that the teacher pulled her aside and said, you know, you're doing really well. And she used my Amazon Prime account to order some dumbbells to do it at home. So like, nice. She's really taken it on board. And I said to she was asking me for some advice, and she was like, you know, I want to do some cardio and stuff. I was like, just don't do it at night time. Just don't do it. Just do it in the morning, because it's meant to set you up for the day, isn't it? Not just make for you me, wired yeah. for the evening.
Yeah, for me.
And
yeah.
I think a lot of people in the morning, are the same. Definitely.
It gives yeah. me, if I exude that energy, it gives me more energy in the long run.
So for those people that maybe don't work out or want to get into working out, and the idea of getting up a couple of hours earlier in the morning, they're just like, well, I just can't do it. Can you give some advice to them? Just fucking do it. That's what I want to say. Just get out of bed and do it. It's okay. hard for like the first week, and then it's just but part of your life.
If there's a mindful way of saying that, then absolute, sorry, mindful. Sometimes I hate using that word. Because sometimes I feel like that. Definitely, yeah. but that's easy for me to say because I'm a morning person.
Yeah.
I would suggest the following. Get to bed for 10 p.m.
As in head on pillow, lights off. Or just get
wind
into bed.
Wind it down, get into bed. This is my routine. Yeah. Maybe it doesn't work for everyone. Also, honour the hours that work for you. If you can't do mornings, my sister can't do mornings at all.
Mm.
I completely respect that she cannot do mornings. No matter what I shove in her face. And that's completely fine for me. Just like I'm her worst nightmare in the morning because I'm like...
Aah! Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And by 11 a.m. I'm spent. Trust me. I'm done. But in bed by 10 p.m, soft light. Okay, this is the bit that saved me. Screen time off.
Yeah.
But I have an Instagram account that is my needy... I call it my needy boyfriend.
Yeah.
It takes up so much of my time to create that account.
Yeah.
And I love it more than anything. Like, more than anything. But 10 p.m. off. Because bad habits can see me up till 3 a.m. responding or thinking of new contact.
Yeah.
It's 10 p.m. off. Also, don't reach for it for the first time in the morning.
Yeah.
Also, read a book. Or do
people
something
don't
that
read
relaxes
anymore.
You. I wouldn't... For me, people say listen to music. But that in no, that I makes don't. Me buzzy.
Yeah, I just want to go out and dance if
yeah,
I listen to music.
If I put Beyonce on, I'm in the club 5 minutes later.
Podcasts are good. There's so many sleep apps. And I just... I find just people speaking in the background makes me drift off.
Yeah.
But I honestly don't have a problem with sleeping at all.
Yeah, I've been insomniac for many...
Oh, really?
Years. Sometimes you... also, let yourself not sleep. Do not take sleeping pills, for me personally, my advice, because your body becomes dependent on it.
Mm.
Be careful of caffeine, although I don't know the ins and outs because I don't have it anyway. It makes me very anxious.
Do you not?
No.
Oh.
No. It replicates... What it's doing to your heart is replicating a panic... If you've had too much caffeine in your life and you haven't had a panic attack, that will replicate how that feels.
Mm.
I have no desire to do that.
Yeah.
And I don't like the taste, actually. Unless it's in an espresso martini.
Really? Oh, so you do have espresso
right,
martini?
No, I don't anymore because I had
say,
a,
they
I had
get
a bad,
buzzed off your tits.
Yeah.
Double
bad
shot
experience.
Of vodka and double espresso. Yeah.
But yeah, go to bed at 10 p.m, soft light. And do not fight. If you start, it's like with any emotion, do not fight your sadness, but do not fight your anger and frustration to not sleep. Let yourself get that way, because otherwise you're going to work. I've done it all. You're going to work yourself into stew. Let yourself feel everything.
I think that's just a good tip
in life. Yeah.
One of my favourite stories I heard was about a guy who watched a horror movie with his girlfriend.
Yeah.
I think it was a bit of a slasher film. And halfway through the movie, he started having really dark thoughts and started thinking, oh, imagine if I just got a knife and stabbed somebody. And it scared him. And so he went to bed and he spoke to his girlfriend, and his girlfriend was like, what are you on about? It's fine, don't worry about it. We all have weird thoughts like that sometimes. It's totally normal. But it obviously caused him anxiety and he just could not stop thinking about it. And he said the more he tried not to think about it, the more it came up. Yeah. And eventually what happened was he had therapy, and the therapist just told him to just okay, grab a knife. Are you going to stab me? And he didn't do it, obviously, because it's just thoughts. They're not actions. It's so interesting. And so I think that is such an important thing, is just to feel sad and feel lonely and feel angry and feel happy and feel whatever it is in that moment. And if it is a negative one, it will just pass if you feel it. It's when you suppress it and try and hide it, it's just going to get worse.
That's the ethos of everything I stand for. Yep. Yeah, honour it all.
It's your body and your mind telling you to just feel it, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're neither good nor bad.
Yeah.
Feeling sad has fantastic... My darkest hours, in hindsight, obviously not when I'm going through it, are the most beautiful things that have happened to my life.
Mm. Yeah. I remember having... because I've got a lot of friends who get into relationships really... not quickly, but they just seem to always have... a different part. Do you know what I mean? There's never any time on their own, and I've had a few conversations where they've been like, but you know, I just don't want to be on my own. And I can pinpoint a time when I was maybe 21 or 22 and I was single for maybe 3 years before I met Alex, and I remember having a night out, going back to my flat, getting into bed and feeling really lonely. And I had friends and I had, you know, I've got a supportive family, but just being in bed alone, I would just remember being like, oh, this isn't a nice feeling. But I just kind of rode it out and got used to being on my own.
Mm.
And I think as soon as you can do that and enjoy your own company, mm-hmm. that's when you can overcome any kind of thought like that. Mm-hmm. Do you see what I mean?
Yeah,
just like feel it, go through it. And now I don't have a problem being on my own. I think that's quite a big issue for a lot of people.
It's a lot of people, yeah. And I have very interesting connections with this. I quite often find myself in relationships, but I've never gone out and actively looked from them, apart from that time when I went on Tinder. Whoa! That wasn't for a relationship.
Hashtag honest.
But it ended up... Oh, God, let's not do Love Life. Can we do Love Life another time?
Yeah, of course.
But it's so important. I live alone and I have a lot of my workload is completely on my own lid. So a lot of people can actually misjudge me in the fact that I don't like being alone. But actually it's a wonderful thing for me to be. Mm. And living alone gives you so much time alone. You don't realise. And I think it's very important for people to do.
Yeah, I do too.
Very important.
So health-wise, have you got... I mean, how do you even have time to make yourself dinner?
I know.
You're so busy. What's your go-to quick, cheap, healthy meal?
Yes.
This is like... I need to start putting these little meals in the box for the podcast so people can...
Okay.
Yeah.
It's literally so simple. It's so quick.
Yeah, go for it.
Smoked mackerel.
My favourite.
Yeah, so just buy some smoked mackerel, a little salad.
Yeah.
And some homemade sweet potato fries.
Yeah, lush.
Done.
Yeah.
Boom.
That's mackerel, smoked mackerel is such a godsend. It's cheap, although I feel like it's getting more expensive. I don't know if they're like importing it from somewhere like outside of Europe.
Brexit,
or whatever.
Isn't it?
Yeah. So mackerel, and it lasts.
Not the cheapest thing for me. The cheapest thing is pasta and tomato, but that's able to do 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Because I am the queen of 10 minute meals for sure. But is able to build my muscles on what I've just burned.
Yeah.
But
it's filling also, though, mackerel, isn't it? So I feel it is cheap in a way.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
you're not having to
also
eat
just
as much.
Prep your meals.
Yeah.
I wish I had time. I don't do this enough, but it saves so much money and all of the time.
Yeah.
And I need to do this more. So this is me being accountable for myself. Cool. Hannah Jane, you will
listen,
do this more.
Listen back to this. Have you ever been on a diet?
Yes.
Have you?
Mm.
Have you...
God, this is weird thinking about this. Yeah, I have.
Okay, because I've never been on a diet. Mm-hmm. I've been on one which wasn't for body fat reasons. It was because I was, and I still am, addicted to sugar. And I went on a ketogenic diet, which was one of the best things I've ever done because it completely reset everything and was really interesting. But I actually lost quite a lot of weight on it without trying. And so I stopped doing it. So I guess, have you been on a diet... for body image reasons,
or yes,
you have,
and that'll shock a few people. Since the gym, no, because I invest in my health in an intelligent
in different ways.
A different way. But that took time. Yes, I have. That's the short answer. Nothing stuck because these stupid diets, these diets that are put into people's. I was surrounded by unhealthy eating habits as a young person.
Mm-mm.
Being in the performing arts industry, I've had people, and modelling, I've had people eat cotton wool.
Yeah.
I've had people down lots of water. I've had people not being able to eat a square of chocolate without having a panic attack.
Yeah.
This is not their fault, but this is something that I was surrounded by. Now, I have never been affected in that way, but I think it did enter the bloodstream, perhaps, in a way where I just went with the flow. And at university, I was gluten-free for 5 days. Then I wasn't. What was I doing?
Yeah.
But I was following some sort of... I was listening.
Mm.
And that's why I find it so important. And people think... Maybe people think that this is so self-involving to speak about personal problems like I do constantly. I can assure you that it's absolutely not to be self-obsessive. It is honestly to be a voice that will hopefully give educated answers to a healthier youth.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to sit here and tell you what makeup to use. No, I don't want to sit here and tell you how to get skinny.
Yeah.
Fuck off.
Yeah.
It's a really long, hard journey, wellness.
Yeah, it is.
And people need to get to the bottom of why they do it, and it goes back to childhood.
Yeah.
It's a psychological thing that needs to be attacked, and you need to do it on your own terms. But if someone that's been through that is able to speak about it openly, then I will do that until the day I die.
And people should listen, I think. You can't
there's
be
so much. I can't stand like some of the things that I see on Instagram that people follow. And
examples.
Also things like...
You don't have to say the accounts, but like
well,
types
I
of
will.
Things.
Love Island. I don't understand. I don't even know what it is.
You would get on so well with my mum because she's got so many views of Love Island.
I get so angry.
Yeah.
And people don't think it affects them. And I'm like, okay, so why is everyone wearing Nike? And
why has everyone got a fucking Love Island water bottle? What is that about?
Why has everyone got iPhones?
Yeah.
Why are we all... We are conditioned in our society. So we need to start waking up and realising what we're listening to is going to affect our wellness. And that we need to ensure that when we open up our Instagram, it's inspiring people doing things.
Yeah.
It's not people in... Have the odd person in bikini, fine.
Yeah.
The Food Medic is one of my favourite accounts.
I think I follow.
I hope you do, because you'd love
Is it a lady or a man?
Yes.
Oh, mine's a man, so
okay,
it must be,
okay,
it's
well,
a similar thing.
I'll show you in a minute.
Yeah.
But she's a GP.
Yeah.
But she's also a PT.
Yeah.
But she's also does all her nutrition. Oh, I could go on about it for forever. Treat it as your newspaper. You are what you eat and you are what you see. You need to... realise what these programmes are doing for you on a subconscious... If you think it doesn't affect you, and you're doing it...
Constantly, the odd dip in, the odd binge, fine.
If you're constantly surrounded by these people doing wellness accounts when they're on a beach in Sri Lanka, sipping from a coconut... bloody tree.
Yeah.
That's what am I saying? I'm getting angry. This is me losing my way because I'm getting angry. It will, if that is your constant viewpoint on how they do, that's not wellness.
Yeah.
That is privilege.
Yeah.
And that is wonderful. And we should all hope that one day maybe we could go and sip on a coconut, but we've got to get back to the nitty gritty hard bits. We cannot do quick fixes with our wellness.
I think it's also, you have to question it a bit. I feel really bad for people that just believe everything that they see on Instagram. They believe that these people look like this. They believe that they are working all of the time and achieving all of these goals. Mm. It's like Larissa said in the first episode, she was like, I'm so anti-goals. And I am too. I love being motivated. I love working towards things. But the whole hashtag goals thing, you're basically giving somebody else the power of, oh, they've got a better life than me. And I think that's absolute bullshit. Like, you don't need to... be on Love Island or look good in a bikini or have lip fillers to be goals. It's just fucking bullshit.
Yeah, and also about the masculine side of things as well.
Yeah.
The fact that they have to be ripped or they have to be on this office hype or with the hottest girl.
It's all very surface, isn't it?
That's what our society, I think, is becoming.
Yeah,
and that's what I'm scared of.
Yeah. So talking of surface, we're going to do some shallow stuff now.
Go on.
Because I planned on,
I
like,
love the odd shallow stuff.
I planned on doing like shallow, going deeper.
Do you know, when I saw
we're
that,
we're not shallow. It's just like straight in with like, so let's talk about
I
mental health.
I saw that
health.
And I was like, good luck.
Yeah.
Just can't do it.
Shallow doesn't
because
work.
Because I don't really know you.
Yeah.
Like beauty, skincare stuff. Because I do think that is a part of wellness. And like you said, with the face, you like doing your face masks because it's just that, like, taking a bit of time.
Yeah.
And I'm going to be speaking to a girl who's got her own skincare company.
Oh,
and her thing is rituals, not routines, which I really like. And it's that kind of, it's not so much about the skincare, it's the 10 minutes you're taking to look after yourself.
Yeah.
So that's obviously great. But do you, like, do you have a skincare routine?
No.
I knew you were going to say that. because you don't wear any makeup.
No.
Because you work out all of the time. Mm. So that's probably why your skin's so good also, because you don't wear makeup.
So my beauty regime, and I'll put this one first, is genetics.
Yeah.
Do not wish for what you cannot have. If you have a skin condition, you have to work in a different...
Yeah.
Don't wish for something... Oh, this is so easy to say.
No, but it's also a lot of people don't... A lot of celebrities and a lot of models and a lot of actors, they do not acknowledge that they've got good genes.
Right, okay, genetics then. I'm
yeah.
bloody lucky.
That, I am too.
I'm bloody lucky.
And I think
lucky.
People, and not enough people acknowledge that. Because you can say, yeah, I work out and I eat and blah, blah,
yeah.
blah. But there's also people that do that and
they
don't
must
have
feel
the
so
easiest
disheartened.
Time with their skin.
Right.
So, yeah.
So I do that. I work out. I drink... a lot of water, 4 to 6 liters.
A day?
Yeah.
Is that if you're working out?
Yeah.
Less if you're not?
Yeah. And then I do, if I have time permitting, I have a Lush. I just recently bought, oh my God, I love Lush. I bought a Lush, what do you call it? Oh my God. This
she's
is
closing
like,
her eyes and she's
face
motioning.
Wash.
Face wash. A cleanser.
I do a face wash and then I do whatever is on the shelf with my toner.
Yeah.
And that, I think,
is... I love it when people that don't really know about skincare
this
talk
is,
about
I
skincare.
Bet you love
it's
this.
So endearing.
This is like a 7-year-old Clinique. So it's like pain stripper.
Yeah.
And then it's not working anymore, but it makes me feel good. And then I put on a moisturizer, which I have anywhere. Like, I've got about 5 tubs that are like moldy and
yeah.
I'm getting that. So I put that on.
Cool.
And that's my skincare regime. No makeup also. Bullshit.
Yeah, I agree with the makeup thing. Although since starting uni and feeling like a slob and lazy, makeup's really helped me start my day and
totally
get myself going. Whereas before, when I was working and I had a really good routine, I'd never wore a scrap of makeup.
Totally get you.
Have you ever bought a skincare product that's made you feel really grown up?
No.
No. Or like a makeup thing?
No.
Or have you,
I'm not grown up.
No, just because, like, I do invest in skincare because
yeah.
that's like my thing, and but not so much in makeup. And I remember when I broke up with my first boyfriend, I was on, you know, when you're just like, you read Cosmo magazine and it's like, what to do when you break up and you get your hair done, you buy a fucking lipstick and all that kind of thing.
Sure. Mm.
And I bought a Chanel lipstick and I still have it because it's like the most grown up
oh.
thing I've ever bought. So that was my thing, but like since then, nothing.
So, yeah, I have an interesting relationship with makeup. In the fact that it wasn't restricted from me as a child.
Mm.
I had this very glamorous nanny. Well, I found her glamorous, and she was just hilarious because she used to call herself the Glam Gran. Or Groovy Gran. Groovy Grandma, that's what she used
Aww.
To call her. I spent a lot of time with her, and when I was 9 years old or 7 years old, she bought me some Number 7 makeup.
Oh! So granny, isn't it?
That's how granny I am. She got a photo of her, I went to the shop and I
yeah.
got you a photo of my granddaughter, and I showed it to the lady and she was awfully helpful and she's just so lovely. And she bought me this palette. And that made me feel very grown up, but that's because I was so young.
Yeah.
But because I was in theatre and I was on pantomime, I was putting on... It was never restricted. And I think that's a really important fact that my mother put into parenting. She also doesn't wear makeup.
Mm.
And she's absolutely blind naturally.
Mm.
Well, she does wear makeup, but...
But it's not like
it's
a...
It's certainly not noticeable.
Yeah.
She didn't have the time when I was hanging off her arm when I was a child either.
Yeah.
So I have this very comfortable relationship where I actually prefer myself without makeup.
Mm.
And when I do use makeup, that's not big-headed, just to say. It's just my preference on what I look like. I actually have a real problem with what I look like sometimes. It's very fluid.
Mm.
The majority of the time I prefer, because I can wipe my eyes and I'm
exactly the same.
And,
yes. You can touch your face, yes, and you can, yeah. You don't have to worry about it.
I've got no guard. Yeah. I'm being myself, which I also believe is very important.
And I think that's a big reason why people wear makeup, is the mask. It's a defense thing. But I love seeing people without makeup on. I think everybody looks better without makeup.
Yeah, but
I truly believe that too.
Because
all the makeup artist friends are going to be like, what? No, don't spread that. You need to spread insecurity, Rosanna.
But when I have had makeup,
it's like,
gone,
oh, it's yeah, you. Yeah, 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 that's yeah. you. I love it.
And you can see your soul through that. And when I have had makeup done, it's so exciting.
Yeah.
And if I go out tonight, for example, I'll put some makeup on and everyone's like, you don't look sick.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
No, I'm not. Like that.
I know what you mean,
but it's exciting.
It's more of a thing when you don't wear it every day.
And when I do the shoots, it's really, really, really exciting. It makes me feel like a princess, which is how I think it should be. But I've done the same routine since I was 14 years old with my makeup, and that's mascara. I've never had foundation in my life, so I have tinted moisturizer and
that's why your skin is so good. When people say to me about my skin, I just don't wear foundation. Mm. Don't fucking do it. It's an extra layer on your skin. Do it when you need to. It's not good. So obviously the podcast is celebrating women doing cool things, and I just want to know, is there somebody that you look up to, or you think, I really like her, or I'd like to be more like her? And like I've said before, this isn't in an insecure like, oh, I wish I was her, but in a like, I like what she's doing and I like what she's about.
I found this question really interesting, because this is going to set, and people get this wrong of me, I have a huge amount of insecurities, but I've never ever wanted to be someone else. Now I'll stop there and tell you exactly why I've felt that. I've never wanted to say I want to be like her, because I think very logically sometimes, and I know that I physically can't be anyone else. So stop worrying about it and work with what you've got.
Yeah.
There are many attributes that I surround myself by that I would love to be. I'd love to be laid back. And then sometimes I think, but then would I ever be a campaigner? Have I ever met a laid back campaigner? I'm not sure I have. So you have, but then in social lives, you know, and I've had a lot of broken relationships where they've made me think, what has she had that I don't have? Tell me, because last week you were saying you wanted my fucking children.
Yeah.
And now you're off somewhere. So that in that case, that makes me question what I don't have. And that's when I'm most insecure. But that tends to be someone's manipulative behaviour
or
ill behaviour.
Yeah, so it's not you, it's them, isn't it?
But
For me,
it is literally the people I surround myself with. And that is, every friend I have inspires me. That can be them getting out of bed, because that's a fucking hard job.
Yeah.
That was the hardest thing I've ever had to do in my life, is to get out of my bed.
Mm.
Or it could be climbing the world's biggest mountain, which I've had. Or smashing some CEO job that my friends do that seem to be on a daily basis, which I don't do. I'm like, you are a office god and I love you for it. You inspire me. I can't have anyone around me that doesn't inspire me, if I'm honest.
Yeah.
I pick very carefully. I don't have big groups. I have people that literally make my heart sing, and that goes to my sister and my mother as well. So it's very grassrooty. I don't like putting too many people on a pedestal.
Say, like, can you give any advice to somebody that's younger and they might not feel like they're surrounding themselves with the best people? But I do think it's a life thing.
I hated being young.
I hated all the bullshit. I hated the bitching. And I remember my mum said to me, it will get better, Rosanna, but it will also always be the same. So you have to choose people around you wisely.
Yeah, I don't know how I have the most incredible people around me. I don't know how.
Because what you put out, you get back. I truly believe that.
Thank you. I do what you love. If you don't know what you love, try everything until you find it.
Yeah.
And invest in those people. And kindness is your answer to everything. Mm. Be kind and the world will change overnight.
Mm.
You look up, we are reflective human beings. We are social animals. And what will happen is we observe, this is how it happens as childhood, we observe our behaviour and we replicate the behaviour. That's how it works, in a nutshell. Psychologists don't kill me, there's
There's so much more to that.
But you don't have to be a fucking psychologist. No, we're also, all humans. We know each other, don't we?
But
we don't need
to. They are wonderful. They are. Their knowledge really, really helps me. But that is what one psychologist said to me. And so that made sense, because when I walk down a street and I look up and smile, I'll get a smile back.
Yeah.
The odd time, I won't. They're having a bad day.
Yeah.
Don't hold a grudge. Carry on smiling.
Yeah.
And if you're having a bad day, just wait for that to be reciprocated, because I promise you it will.
Yeah. I think it's also, if there are people that are younger and they're thinking like, I am around people that I don't want to be around and I don't know how to get out of it, I think the one thing that I can say is just have a little word with yourself and tell yourself it's okay, and just find that little bit of inner strength to start doing things slowly to move away from those people or whatever it is that is not serving you in the right way.
I had some friends, I say it loosely,
and it does take time to build that confidence and strength, so just don't worry too much. Yeah, just keep doing it.
Keep going. But I had friends, I wouldn't even call them friends now, I didn't really know what they were. They were classmates at school. They turned around and bullied me, and I felt like I think I had two friends at school, but that was literally two friends at school, or maybe five loose friends, but two best friends at school. And I remember thinking, gosh, no one likes me, and what a shame that was. And that did affect me very much, especially my adult life.
Mm.
But now I look back and I think, would I be friends with any of those people? No. And it's a brutal natural selection process that you go through.
Yeah.
And just keep riding the waves.
Yeah, I agree. Mm. Definitely. And I think the older you get, the quicker you get at bullshit radar as well.
Yes.
If you allow yourself.
The bullshit dies down as well.
Yeah. And it ties in with that being okay on your own as well, I think.
Yep.
And
you're always learning. I don't have any of the answers. That's another disclaimer, by the way.
When you, obviously from the outside again, people might think, oh, you're doing mental health campaigning and well-being. You must have overcome all of your shit and you must be fine. So what do you have like a little saying or something you tell yourself when you're having a bit of a hard time? Or do you just go to the gym? Is that your thing?
No, I don't always. Sometimes it's really interesting. The well-being sector has become hugely monetized and there's so much bullshit.
Yeah.
And the worst thing that I could possibly say to a friend in need or myself is go and put a face mask on, darling. Yeah. Go and read a book.
Go and do 10 minutes
if you're
meditation.
In that moment, wellness should be, you should be topping up your wellness like you do your physical health every single day. You should be doing those self-care moments every single day so that you don't get into the big lull.
Yeah.
If a traumatic experience happens where you get into that big lull, sit in it.
Yeah.
Sit in it. Become disastrously upset. Feel the flaw. Go a little bit further. Bury yourself into it. But do not become self, woe is me. Don't.
Yeah.
So there's a real fine line. Don't and push. Don't go, oh, it's okay. It's okay. Push, but still sit in it, but still push. There's this weird balance.
I know exactly what you mean. It's hard. It's not indulging. It's not being a victim.
No, don't.
But it's feeling, it's sitting on the floor and having a really big cry
and tell someone.
Yeah,
tell someone. And then, and I do have a, but then when I'm well, I am constantly surrounded by everything. A to Z of well-being just to my left there.
Yeah,
my cookbooks are well-being. Yeah. There, that's the high.
You've got plants
high.
In here.
Yeah.
You've got books.
I've got
a bottle of wine. That's also self-care.
That's been drunk.
What's that little thing there? Body Mind, Feb 2019. I saw this on your Instagram.
Yeah, so I do monthly goals.
Yeah.
So you're not goal set up, but...
no, I am goal set up. I am.
Yeah.
I am. I just don't like the hashtag goals in reference to looking a certain way in a bikini.
Yeah.
But so I have the same thing. I have like
so
a sketchbook
work,
thing.
Exactly.
I do.
So I work really... And also, before you set goals, go into the deep-rooted reasons of how you do things and why you do things.
Yeah.
Get deep. See a therapist. Even if you don't think... Therapist isn't for people that have got problems.
Yeah.
Therapists are for everyone. Because we do not get taught at school, which is something I'm trying to change, about the one thing that we all have, which is humanness.
Yeah.
Human beings. Being a human. Social interaction. I don't know when the fuck I'm going to use my Pythagoras' theorem that I've learned. I'm not. But I am going to be able to learn how to grieve.
Yeah.
Or how, what to expect when I grieve. Everyone, there's so much around grieving mental health, like, fuck, I didn't expect it to do this.
Yeah.
Why aren't we learning that? So after doing the deep-rooted meaning, of which there are never any answers, but you've got to start it and you've got to understand it a bit better, then this year I used this year to jump into it. Which is because last year was disastrous for me. So every month I have in the middle, then I have two sections, body and mind, and then I have my goals, and then I review it, and then I make a new... Because
you're
the year,
a girl after my own heart. So organised, I love
it. Because the year is too long, and people will lose track. You'll see gym bunnies for a month in January, and then they'll drop off.
Yeah.
If you say, right, you've got 28 days to achieve this, it becomes a lot more achievable. Yeah. So you break it down.
Just break it down.
But I do have a quote, but I have to go and get it.
Yeah, go for it.
It's on my wall.
It's fine.
It's a quote that I use at the end of all my lectures, and it's a quote that I used to have printed. I don't know where it's gone now. So this is my quote. It's quite long. Happiness is the consequence of personal effort. You fight for it, strive for it, insist upon it, and sometimes even travel around the world looking for it. You have to participate relentlessly in the manifestations of your own blessings. And once you have achieved a state of happiness, you must never become lax about maintaining it. You must make a mighty effort to keep swimming upward into that happiness forever, to stay afloat on top of it. And that, to me, just how much hard work goes into, I just want to be happy. Well, it's not going to happen. You're going to have to start working really hard. And that's what well-being is. It's not a face mask.
No,
and
it's not. And 10 minutes of headspace, although that
is
really good.
It's not going to Burning Man. Don't get me started on Burning Man.
Burning Man's basically sponsored by Victoria's Secret models.
Can we
stop? Is it not?
It's not going to Burning Man and feeling healed.
Yeah.
It doesn't take a week.
And I think that is something, is that people don't want to put the work in, and it does take work, and it is going to feel uncomfortable, and it might be difficult, but it's worth it.
And also, it's okay to feel shit. That's part of happiness.
Yeah. Feeling shit is part of happiness. Shall I end it there?
Goodbye.
No. Just to wrap up.
Yeah.
What do you want to, what do you want to put across from this podcast?
Wow. You are wonderful.
Oh, not me, the audience.
You and everyone else. It's all the answers are all there.
Yeah.
But don't be scared of hard work. I hear a lot, especially in wellness, I hear a lot of, it's okay, you don't have to do that. Yeah, I do have to do that. I have things to do. I have to do it. But how can we do it mindfully? And also, there are no answers to your answers, to the answers to the questions, to the answers.
Yeah, and I think it's...
God, that's so
I think a lot of people look to other people for answers for themselves.
Mm.
So let's just take it back real shallow.
Yeah.
I get so many people message me about skincare.
Yeah.
I only know what works for me because I've spent the last 10 years trying different things, trying different foods, trying exercise. I've invested the time in myself to do that. Doesn't just because it works for me doesn't mean it's going to work for you, which means you have to get off your ass and invest in yourself, I think, and take the time,
invest in yourself
and work it out. Don't rely on other people.
Work it
out.
But also grow inspiration from other people.
Yeah.
Absolutely, like people that have been through it, speak with them. Don't be afraid to slide into the old DMs.
I always say that.
You
do say that a lot.
I say it all the time because
it's a bit raunchy.
Yeah, but
and
this
slide.
Is it. My ex-boyfriend, who had the complete wrong idea about me, used to think that all these boys would be in my DMs, and then I'd be like, literally, have a look. it's always like, it's a little joke I have about myself that there's nothing seedy going on. Slide into those DMs and talk about real things is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
Because I'm not going to go on a date with you, so. Not you. I'll go on a date with you. Find it. I don't know what the question was. What do I want from this? I want people to understand that everything is good. Everything is hard work, and you really need to invest in people and stop investing in money.
Yeah. Oh, that's definitely the final note.
And then the money will come. Maybe,
yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. No. I think that's true. Cool. Well, I just want to carry on talking, but we've got to wrap it up. So thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
That was hilarious and so interesting. Just keep doing what you're doing. I think it's really important. On that note, thanks for listening, everybody. I hope this has been helpful and not too triggering.
No,
it's fine. Triggering is good. Thanks for listening. Bye.
Bye.